Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anna Mateo, Brian Lynn, Bob Doty, Larry West, and Morris Joyce. But first, this report from Jill Robbins.
The United States Department of Justice announced Wednesday that a Harvard University professor and two Chinese nationals have been charged in connection with aiding China. Charles Lieber is head of Harvard's Chemistry and Chemical Biology Department. U.S. officials say he was arrested and charged with making false statements to the Defense Department about his ties to a Chinese government program. The Justice Department claims that Lieber lied about his involvement with a program known as the Thousand Talents Plan. It said the Chinese government and the Wuhan University of Technology, WUT, gave him more than $1.5 million to set up a laboratory and carry out research in China. In exchange, WUT gave the Harvard professor $50,000 a month and also paid for housing and other living expenses. The Justice Department also announced charges against Yan Qingye, who is currently in China. The charges include visa fraud, making false statements, and acting as an agent of a foreign government. U.S. officials arrested Zhao Shangzheng, another Chinese national, in December 2019 at Boston's Logan International Airport. He is accused of attempting to secretly transport 21 containers of biological research to China. 1 month later, he was charged with smuggling goods from the United States and making false statements. The New York Times reports there are at least 180 investigations of intellectual property theft at 71 universities and other institutions across the United States. The Thousand Talents Foreign Experts Program is a major focus of the investigations. The Justice Department has described the plan as one of China's top talent recruitment programs. It is designed to interest and help high-level scientific researchers who would then support China's scientific development, economic growth, and national security. The charges brought by the U.S. government against Professor Lieber are extremely serious, said Harvard, in a statement to the technology website The Verge. When U.S. researchers get financial help from the government, they must tell the truth about their connections with foreign organizations. The punishment for making false statements in this situation could include up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $250,000. In the past 6 months, other university researchers have faced criminal charges for passing knowledge to China. One of them was Turab Lukman, a scientist who formerly worked at the Los Alamos Laboratory in New Mexico. Last week, he admitted in court to lying about his involvement with the Thousand Talents Plan. U.S. officials said they became interested in Lukman after he told a co-worker he had citizenship in four countries, including India, where he was born. In December, Alan List resigned as Chief Executive Officer and President of the H. Lee Moffitt Cancer Center and Research Institute in Tampa, Florida. An investigation found that List and Thomas Sellers, a vice president and director at Moffitt, and four of the Cancer Center's researchers hid their ties to a Chinese medical university. Feng Franklin Dao worked as a chemist at the University of Kansas. In August, federal officials charged him with four counts of fraud for working full-time for a Chinese university while receiving U.S. government money. Dao has denied the charges. His lawyer said that the case could have been a misunderstanding because of the researcher's employment in China over the summer holidays. The university says Dao is on administrative leave from his position as a professor of chemical engineering. Last month, the government announced more charges against him. Wang Longmeng is a political commentator who lives in France. He said the Thousand Talents program had for many years tried to steal high technology from around the world. Some scholars and officials who live in a democratic system and enjoy all its freedoms will aid those who would harm it for personal gain. Wang added, Western countries should get hold of a list of those recruited to China's Thousand Talents program and investigate them one by one. I'm Jill Robbins.
Now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Today, we talk about a common expression made from two common words, stir and crazy. Put them together and you have the adjective stir crazy. Now, before we talk about stir crazy, let's talk about the words separately, starting with crazy. We use the word crazy in so many different situations. For example, one meaning of crazy is insane. If someone's behavior is really annoying you, you can say they are driving you crazy, making you lose your mind. Crazy also means in love with something or someone to an unusual, often comical, degree. You can be crazy about baseball, crazy about spaghetti, or crazy about traveling. If you are crazy in this way, we might say you have lost your head. We also use the word crazy to mean an extreme level. For example, she has been crazy busy these last few days. That guy is crazy good looking. And this spaghetti is crazy good. Now the verb stir. When you stir something, you mix it up. In the kitchen, we often stir dishes like soup and cake batter. However, stir used to have another meaning. Several online dictionaries say that in the mid-1800s, stir was slang for prison. Aha! That information helps today's expression make sense. Stir crazy means you feel unhappy and upset because you have been in a place for a long time and you want to get out. Some experts say the term stir crazy dates back to the early 1900s. It was used to describe prisoners who became mentally unbalanced from being locked up. Other prisoners would say they went stir crazy. Today, we use the expression to mean stuck in any situation where we do not want to be. If you are stir crazy, you feel restless, trapped, and bored. Now, let's hear the word used in some examples.
This class is so boring. When will it be over? I'm going stir crazy sitting here.
The jury talked about the case in a small room with no air conditioner for 9 days. By the 10th day, everyone was stir crazy.
When is this rain going to stop? I've been cooped up in the house with the kids all week. I'm completely stir crazy.
That's right. Even love for those with whom you are stuck is not a fix for feeling stir crazy. And that's Words in Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
Major nonprofit organizations are protesting the planned sale of the .org internet registry system they belong to. The groups say the sale of the system to a private investment company could lead to much higher costs to register and keep a domain name. A domain name identifies a website on the internet. The nonprofit groups also say the change could reduce freedoms of speech and expression. The registration process for millions of nonprofit groups using websites that end in .org is controlled by the U.S.-based Internet Society, or ISOC. But in November, the Internet Society announced it was selling control to Ethos Capital. It is a private investment company based on the island of Mauritius in the Indian Ocean. Hundreds of organizations have objected to the plan. Top nonprofit groups like Greenpeace and Amnesty International have called for the $1.1 billion sale to be blocked. Last week, the directors of 10 leading nonprofit groups published an open letter during the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, Switzerland. The letter urged the Internet Society and ICANN, the Internet's governing body, to intervene to stop the sale. Should the governance and stewardship of .org end up under the control of private or other actors that could lead to financial or other barriers, that would irreparably harm global civil society, the letter read. The Internet Society said in a joint statement with Ethos Capital that Ethos had promised to limit any cost increases to a yearly average of 10%. The statement added that existing agreements with ICANN contain limitations to prevent an internet registry from selling information about registered organizations. The statement rejected suggestions that the new system would lead to spying or censorship of online material. Ethos and the Internet Society take freedom of expression very seriously, and the registry's commitment to free speech will continue unabated. Brett Solomon is the director of Access Now, a group that supports policies to keep the internet open and free. He told Reuters the sale could force smaller organizations with less money off the internet. In addition, he worries about the level of control handed over to the new owner of the registry system. They have a capacity to take somebody off the .org domain, which means they can censor, they can monitor, they can deny, Solomon said. And all these issues are very, very important for organizations who are challenging governments and are challenging powerful interests, he added. A small demonstration was recently held at the ICANN offices in Los Angeles to protest the planned sale. The demonstrators presented a letter signed by 35,000 supporters that urges ICANN to block the deal. ICANN's chairman, Martin Botterman, came outside with some other board members to meet with protesters. He told the Associated Press that ICANN is in the process of examining the effects of the sale. He said the organization was also looking to find guarantees to offer concerned .org registrants. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. Woodrow Wilson's first year as president showed the American people that they had elected a strong and effective leader. Wilson took office in 1913. He moved quickly to fulfill his campaign promises. He won congressional approval for lower import taxes, a new tax on earnings, and restrictions on the power of big companies. These were some of the most important economic reforms the nation had seen in many years. Larry West and Morris Joyce continue the story of Wilson's administration.
Most of Woodrow Wilson's political victories were on national issues. He had little experience with international issues. But foreign events soon began to demand more and more of his time. With all of his successes at home, it is a surprising fact of history that his presidency is remembered best for its foreign policy. The story of Woodrow Wilson's foreign policy is full of high ideas and political bravery. But it also is a story of fierce struggle and lost hopes. It is a story that begins across America's southern border in Mexico.
At that time, Mexico had been ruled for many years by Porfirio Diaz. As Diaz grew older, his power began to weaken. In 1911, a revolt broke out. It was led by Francisco Madero, the leader of a land reform movement. Diaz understood he could not win. He resigned and fled the country. Madero declared himself president. However, powerful groups in Mexico opposed him. In a short time, one of his own generals, Victoriano Huerta, arrested him. Madero was murdered soon after Huerta seized power. President Wilson refused to recognize Huerta's government. He believed other forces would rise up against him. Wilson was right. Another revolt began, led by General Venustiano Carranza.
Wilson offered aid to Carranza. Carranza rejected the offer. He was afraid of American interference in Mexico. He told Wilson that Mexican troops would do all the fighting. He only wanted guns and ammunition. American forces did, however, get involved in the conflict. President Wilson learned that a ship from Germany was bringing supplies to the Huerta government. The ship would land at the Mexican port of Veracruz. Wilson ordered the United States Navy to seize and occupy the port. The move started a storm of criticism in the United States and throughout Latin America.
Many people denounced President Wilson. They called him an imperialist and a fool. They asked, what right did the United States have to interfere in Mexico? Wilson finally stopped American military action in Mexico. He tried to settle the dispute at an international conference at Niagara Falls, Canada. The effort failed. The conference did not produce a settlement. While the diplomats were talking, Carranza's revolutionary forces were fighting. They moved on Mexico City, the capital. President Huerta fled. Carranza formed a new government.
The new government began to split apart almost immediately. Another general, Francisco Pancho Villa, tried to seize power. He forced Carranza out of Mexico City. Then he formed his own government. President Wilson recognized Villa and his government. Carranza, however, refused to give up. Day by day, his army grew stronger. He forced Villa to retreat. Then President Wilson recognized Carranza's government. Like Carranza, Villa refused to give up. He decided to try to start a war between Mexico and the United States. Pancho Villa wanted the United States to attack Carranza. Then he would step in to lead Mexican forces in battle. That would make him a hero. With this plan in mind, Pancho Villa attacked an American town across the border in Texas. He killed 19 persons.
President Wilson immediately ordered a large American force to find and punish Villa. At first, Carranza welcomed the move. Villa was his enemy. He wanted him captured. Then, Carranza began to fear that the American troops might threaten his government. He demanded the withdrawal of all American soldiers from Mexico. Tensions increased between the two countries. Villa's forces attacked another town in Texas. President Wilson considered asking Congress to declare war, but the crisis cooled down before then. American forces were withdrawn, and the people of Mexico elected a new government. They chose Carranza as president.
As President Wilson dealt with the situation in Mexico, trouble began to surface in another part of the world. The crisis was in Europe. Tensions were growing between several groups of nations. They were on the edge of what would become World War I. The major powers in Europe had been threatening each other for years, but they had not fought for more than 40 years. Most Americans believed there would never be another European war. Such a war would be unbelievably destructive. Millions would die. No nation would win.
Europe depended on a balance of power to keep the peace. On one side were the Central Powers, Germany, Austria-Hungary, and Italy. On the other side were the members of the Triple Entente, Britain, France, and Russia. Each side made every effort to win the support of Europe's smaller nations. A number of nations refused to join either side. The neutrals included Switzerland, Belgium, the Netherlands, and the Scandinavian countries.
This political balance did not prevent the major nations from competing with each other for colonies and economic power. They competed all over the world, in China, in the Middle East, in Africa. Everywhere money could be invested. Competition was especially sharp in the Balkans. This was the area of Europe between the Adriatic and Black Seas. Many nations claimed special interests in the Balkans, and several Balkan countries were fighting each other. The whole continent seemed ready to explode.
The spark that set off the explosion came in the city of Sarajevo. The date was June 28, 1914. Sarajevo had been taken over by Austria, and the Archduke of Austria, Ferdinand, had come for a visit. Ferdinand was expected to become the next Emperor of Austria. Seven young extremists from the area decided to assassinate the Archduke to protest Austrian control. One of the extremists threw a bomb at the royal family. The bomb missed its target, but another extremist shot at the group. He killed both the Archduke and the Archduke's wife.
The assassinations in Sarajevo started a series of events that quickly brought war to all of Europe. Soon the continent was covered with armies, battles, and death.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. And find more stories, quizzes, and English learning activities, including videos and lessons, on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Thank you for listening to The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.